down my golden river, sun and water all my own. Yet I was never alone. Sun and water, oh life givers, I'll have them where'er I roam. And I was not far from home.
The great Pete Seeger would have been 100 years old tomorrow, and we were very lucky that he was a part of WAMC. So, we're hosting a celebration of Pete with folk musician Happy Traum. The concert will be at the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio in Albany, New York, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Happy will perform songs he learned from Pete, traditional folk ballads, songs of love and protest, and some of Pete's iconic compositions. Hi, Happy, my old friend. Welcome to the roundtable.
Thanks, Alan. I'm thrilled to be part of this.
And you have been part, you and your late brother, Artie, have been part of this radio station for as long as I can remember, and we're incredibly grateful that you're doing this for us. I told people that, you know, of all the people that we could have doing this, you were the guy for a lot of reasons. Good friend of Pete, right?
Oh, a good friend of Pete. I first heard Pete as a high school student back in 1954. My first concert that I ever went to ever was a Pete Seeger concert. It just changed my life right from that moment. The fact that, you know, the songs we heard on the radio were songs with orchestras, and they were like, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, and The Little White Cloud That Cried, and all that kind of thing. And suddenly here was this guy standing by himself with a banjo in a spotlight with maybe 1,500 people in the audience, and he was singing songs that have some kind of meaning, that had some kind of grit and power to them. And people were singing along even back then, and everybody was singing along with him. And that was my introduction to Pete. And I was totally honored and delighted, you know, later on, starting in the early 60s, to become friends with him. We were on a record together in 1963 called Broadsides. I did many, many shows with him, my brother and I both. And, it was just a thrill to get to know him and to be considered a friend by him.
You know, we share that love. I was at a place you were actually a counselor at, I believe. Were you a counselor at Bucks Rock Work Camp?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, so so there I was. I was 14 years old, and I was playing one hole golf. And I saw this guy standing up there and a bunch of people around him, and I went up there to see what was going on. And my life was changed. That was it. That was the end. What a presence. He had a way, Happy, of taking his hand. I don't know how to describe this over the radio. And when it was time for everybody to sing, he just sort of waved his hand a little bit, and everybody would sing. It was wild.
Yeah, he had a magnetic quality to him. And, of course, his whole mission was to get people to sing with him. He was not comfortable being the star of anything.
No, he wasn't.
In fact, off stage, he was exactly the same as he was on stage. There was no difference. In fact, he was at our house a few times, and we'd be sitting around the table, and he'd start a song, and he'd say, come on, sing with me, you know, like as if we were in a concert hall, and we were just three of us or four of us there. So he was exactly the same on stage or off. And I have to say also that when I started out becoming a folk singer, even before I thought of it as a profession, I started building this repertoire of songs, most of which were from Pete Seeger's records and from hearing him sing live. If Pete sang it, it was a folk song. If he didn't sing it, it probably didn't have much to do with anything. That was in my mind when I was a kid, anyway. So if Pete sang a traditional Appalachian ballad, or if he sang a song about striking miners or anything like that, it was a folk song. If he sang Blue Moon, You Saw Me Standing Alone, when he sang it, it became a folk song.
Right.
You know, or if he played on the banjo, he played a little Bach piece or a little Beethoven, like he did on the Goofing Off Suite, and that became a folk song. So that became the standard for my own repertoire, which, of course, has grown and changed over the years. I've been doing this now for 60-something years. But Pete has always been the lodestar for me. And I'm hoping that at this concert I'm doing at the Linda, that, you know, I'm going to try to choose songs from all the periods of Pete's repertoire that I know and feel like I can give some energy and meaning to. And, you know, I think people will be surprised. As I told you, when you first mentioned this to me, I quickly jotted down on a piece of paper the songs that I could think of that I knew of Pete's, and I had to stop when I got to 75 songs, and I thought, wait a minute, whoa, this is going to be like 3 or 4 hours of music. I can't do this. So I just whittled it down, and I got to about, you know, what I think is going to be about an hour and a half or maybe a little more of solid, good songs that people will be able to sing. Most of them people know and will be able to sing along with me. And I'm going to bring a 6-string guitar, a 5-string banjo, a 12-string guitar, and a 12-string baritone guitar, which is the kind he played, like Lead Belly played, a low-tuned guitar. So I'm going to have 4 instruments there and try to do justice to all of them.
You know, I remember a time when we all went to Madison Square Garden for Pete's birthday party. I remember that, for the Clearwaters.
Mm-hmm.
Pete hated to do, you know, things that called attention, as you say, to himself. But this one, he did it. And I remember standing there and watching as he came in, and there were all these people who wanted to, you know, to basically meet him and to talk to him. And he saw you, and he put his arm around you.
And Jane, too. Jane, my wife, and I both.
He saw you, too, and he put his arm around you, and that was it. You were the guys. That was really quite some testimonial. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, he was a big fan of the company that Jane and I started, Homespun Tapes, it was then, Homespun Music Instruction. And Pete was a huge fan of our little business. And when he got off stage, the people in the audience were still singing Goodnight Irene. You could still hear it echoing even backstage. And when Pete spotted us, he came over, and the first thing he said was, you know, more people should start small businesses. That's what makes the world a better place and all this stuff. And we were just dumbstruck because here he was, 20,000 people singing happy birthday to him or whatever, and he just zeroed in on us, and they said, come walk this way, come back. And we went into his dressing room, and we met, you know, of course, Toshi was there, and all these people were backstage, but we were the ones that he sort of, wanted to talk to and find out what we were doing. And by the way, a few years before that, he was... The book that I learned how to play banjo on, his How to Play 5-String Banjo, he actually gave to us, took it away from the big publisher that was printing it and selling it, and he said, I want you guys, Homespun, to be the publisher of this. So since about 1999 or so, we've been the publisher of that great book that everybody learned from, no matter who they are on the banjo. Whether it was Tony Trischko or Bela Fleck, any of the great artists that play banjo, they all go back to Pete's book.
Yeah, including me, and I have to say, I learned from Pete's book and from your wonderful brother, Artie, who used to sit with me on the lawn at Hunter College and teach me how to frail. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, Happy, was about two places. Lincoln Farm, and which a camp that you worked at, and Bottrop, because that's where we all learned so much about how to sing together.
Right, and Pete was kind of a visitor at these places, and they were more liberal, leftist liberal camps. They weren't the hardcore, let's say,
lefty,
more communist oriented camps. There were some of those too. But these were more kind of like, liberal, but definitely with a social conscience, and they wanted to get the kids involved. And they were teenagers, and a lot of them were kids from pretty wealthy families. So singing about, you know, people from the Depression or people who were striking, you know, for better pay or something was a little bit out of the realm of their experience, but still... It brought people together. It gave people a common cause, and I would say a lot of those people now are probably, you know, in the same general camp with people that want social justice and want equality among people, both racially, religiously, and economically. So I think those camps had a very big impact on the way people think. And the songs, and getting people to sing those songs, I hear from people all the time. Say, remember me in 1959, I was in your guitar, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't really, but, you know, but they come up to me at concerts or whatever, and it's always great fun to hear from people like that.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite song, a favorite Pete song?
They've changed over, you know, from time to time. Right. I think currently my favorite song, there are two of them that Pete wrote that actually choke me up every time I sing them. So, you know, I just have to get through them, but I love playing them. One is Quite Early Morning, mm-hmm. which is a song of great optimism and hope, as is another song called Old Devil Time, which Pete wrote, and it's really about just, you know, beating down both time, fear, old age, and hate, and, you know, all the things that you want to fight and rail against. Pete was a poet. He was a brilliant musician. Most people think of him actually, you know, as a song leader, as a, somebody who sings kind of like songs, you know, without a lot of deep musicality. But in reality, he was a really wonderful musician with a great sense of harmony. And if you listen to some of those early records, his expertise on banjo and guitar was quite extraordinary.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something Arlo said about Pete. Of course, Arlo mm-hmm. and Pete were very close. He said there's two ways to lead a song. There's the boring way and there's the Pete way. There's the Pete way. And he said the Pete way, you sang the song, you gave the words in front of the song, you sang the song, and then you did something else after the while it was going on. Incredible. And I knew exactly what he meant. It's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pete was, of course, the master at that art, if you want to call it, of leading people in song. And he could get people singing harmonies and... you know, I wouldn't even pretend to be close to that, but I'm hoping that I'm going to, you know, at least half or more than half the songs that I'm going to be doing are songs that people, I think the people in our audience at the Linda will just sing spontaneously, because they're songs just about everybody knows. And they're songs that lend themselves, of course, to a great chorus or, you know, great answer back to a, you know, call and response song.
Right. You know,
so, and I've been doing this since I was inspired by Pete when I was a teenager. I've been doing, you know, been a musician all my life, and one of the things I love to do is sing with other people.
There was a, you know, there is that wonderful moment in The Weavers at Carnegie Hall, which started so many of us out.
Mm-hmm.
And singing Michael Row the Boat Ashore, and Pete says, if somebody next to you was looking at you peculiarly, kick him in the ribs and get him singing too.
Right. That's right.
So, well, Happy Tran, we love having you do this for us, and we are incredibly grateful you're going to do it. You really are a terrific guy.
Thank you so much, and I'm thrilled that you asked me, and I'm really looking forward to Friday night.
I would not have asked anyone else, Happy. Not anyone else.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
Join WAMC to celebrate Pete Seeger's 100th birthday with a tribute concert with Happy Traum on Friday, May 3rd. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. Get one ticket for each $100 pledge, or we do have a few people. I don't know if you saw what happened there, Happy. Somebody said $100 too much. The Pete way would be to help everybody else out. So somebody gave us $1,000 and said you can apply this to people who don't have the $100. Or then somebody else called up when we announced it and gave another $500. So a few of those.
Wow, 15 lucky people will be able to get in.
A few of them are lucky.
Yep.
The event proceeds, of course, will support WAMC's Lockbox. Happy, we're so glad that you're with us.
Thank you, Alan. See you tomorrow.
Sailing down my my golden river, sun and water all my